Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm here, Jessie Ware, sitting nursing a really unfair hangover. And Mum is here fanning herself because I haven't been able to help that much today.
It's very hard. I've had the oven going since 9 o'clock, darling.
I'm really sorry. And I thank
you. It's not your fault that the oven was going, but I think I chose wrongly the food.
Why?
Because I didn't realise it was going to be probably the second hottest day of the year, and having an oven on for 5 hours doesn't help the kitchen.
So tell the listeners what's on the menu.
Well, darling, what's off the menu, if you'll pardon the expression.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the guests on, I don't think I've ever been more jealous. Of anybody's.
What, for the success of his brilliant podcast?
Well, besides that, the fact that he's got, as you would say in the profession, such a good gig.
He's got a few good gigs.
I know, but he's a judge on The Great British Menu, which is probably my all-time favourite cooking programme, because it's all these amazing chefs and he gets to taste all their great food to prepare for a banquet.
Yes, we have Ed Gamble from the Off Menu podcast, judge on Great British Menu, and he's coming here to talk about his new book, Glutton, which is a food memoir. And we're very excited to finally meet Ed Gamble and to talk food.
He's the nice one on the Great British Menu. He's the kindest judge.
I wonder if he will be kind about your cooking.
And he loves food.
Yeah, his book Glutton, I mean, it goes, the first page is about him being like the biggest, greediest baby. And it carried on, I think, the whole time. So, yeah, he's kind of doing the right thing. What's on the menu?
Well, it is a warm day and it's a late lunch. So I didn't do a kind of big, heavy meal. I've done an onion tart and the crust is made with semolina and flour and butter that you heat up and then just pour it all in. And let's hope it's nice and crispy because of the semolina. And then the onions, it's shallots really, and some swing onions. And I've made confit roast tomatoes and some creamy butter beans with a herby oil to go with it and just a green salad.
It looks really delicious.
And then I've made panna cotta, which is, I feel a bit guilty because it is very easy, but I do think it's delicious, with passion fruit and peaches.
Would you recommend people that are doing dinner parties at the moment to make a panna cotta?
I think panna cottas are fabulous and they're dead easy. I was always frightened of doing them because of gelatine, but it's so easy to use. 2.5 sheets of gelatine soaked in cold water and then you put it in, it all melts and it's delicious. And I think I've got the quantity of gelatine just right because I always get a good wobble.
You do get a good wobble. Well, let's see how it wobbles today. Ed Gamble coming up on Table Manners.
Well, we're very excited to have Ed Gamble on our podcast, our major competitor.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've been invited.
This felt like something from a gangster film where there's a summit set up and then I thought I was just going to be shot in the back of the head as soon as I arrived.
Also, Ed, you have, I don't think I've ever been as envious of anyone. You have my dream job.
Yes, I think I know what that is.
Yeah,
judge on the Great British Menu.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing that job, to be honest.
I know how you got the gig, because you're funny and you like food.
Well, yeah. I went and guest judged on an episode because they were doing it about innovation, I think was the theme. And they wanted a comedian for that last episode. And then they seemed to enjoy me on that. And they were making a big change where they were getting rid of the old judges and shipping new people in. So I was lucky to be there at that time. But it is the dream job.
It is.
It really is.
Fabulous.
We're starting with an aperitif today.
Fantastic.
Ed. Only for Great British Menu people do we start with an aperitif. But this is quite a poor man's version of the Mountain vermouth. Have you been to Mountain yet?
Not been to Mountain yet.
Freaking amazing.
Very excited to go.
They have this amazing...
you try.
Is it Sicilian vermouth?
No,
anyway, this is not the same.
Spanish.
I really...
I love this.
No, but what they do it with soda, and they definitely do it better than this. And they put one of those gorgeous olives in. So, yeah, cheers, Ed.
This cheers. Is
cheers. You try it, darling. It's not bad.
Okay, fine.
It's very nice.
It's kind of medicinal.
It's kind of dry and nice.
Kind of going to sort my hangover out.
Okay, yeah. It's a hangover cure. We'll call it that.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Where have you come from today?
From East London, North East London, Walthamstow.
And is that where you live?
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast?
I had two... I'm doing this awful thing at the moment where I get my meals delivered in the morning like a...
Why?
Oh, because I don't have any time to do proper cooking at the moment. So I just end up eating crap. Or I do cook when I have time. But if I'm like, if I'm gigging a lot and doing loads
You've
of other
loads
stuff,
of promo.
It's, yeah, it's really hard. So,
so who delivers your food?
It's like some fitness place. It's,
are we
it's
ruin
really
that
boring.
For you today?
Yeah, good. So that's what
sorry.
I want.
Have you lost weight?
No. I keep it at a level where I don't lose any weight, but it's just so I can eat sort of decent food and don't end up getting delivery all the
is
time.
Is it like called fresh fitness food?
It is.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Pro Green was talking about it the other day.
Right. Okay.
And
yeah.
I was thinking actually I was going to do it for my rehearsals because otherwise you just end up eating. Well, I love Pro.
It's nice food as well. It is good, but you do feel a bit pathetic picking up your meals from outside your house every day like you're in prison.
So what did you have for breakfast from your little box?
It was like little egg, those little egg pucks. And my
What's
wife calls them like evil egg pucks.
What is an
they
evil
look like,
egg
They look
puck?
Like hockey pucks. They're like, you know, if you made them, you'd put them in like a muffin tin bake them, like
so
baked
like,
egg
okay.
bites sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many?
Two big ones.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving. I mean, I deliberately didn't eat the entire box because
shit.
I was
and
ready
that's
to...
hard for you, as I gather from your
yeah,
your,
I'm just
your
like constantly thinking about food. So
it's the greatest.
Yeah, of
Do
course.
Do you think it's a blessing or a curse, though?
I think it's a blessing because I consider it a passion and a hobby that I enjoy indulging. And I see people who don't enjoy food, and I just think they must have a completely empty life.
Do you, when you're in bed at night, do you think what you might have the next day?
Yeah, of course.
Me
too. Try and plan out the whole menu in the head.
The whole day of what I'm eating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if I'm going out to eat, that's when I'm like excited the whole time.
So where have you eaten recently that you've thought was fabulous? Do you go to any of the chefs that have been on the programme?
Yeah, I try to, but then, you know, because they're from all over the UK, if I'm touring, I'll try and go to one of them. But the best meal I've had this year is Longclume.
I'm so desperate to go.
It is amazing. I'm going again for New Year's.
Oh my God, that's such a great idea.
Are you performing?
No. Just
eating.
Night off, eating. It's a long meal as well. It's like a 4 or 5 hour meal there.
Do you think it'll be fun as well?
Yeah,
it'll
be
so fun. Or is it all serious eating?
No. It's quite relaxed. So, and you know, everyone who works there is really good fun. And it's me and James Acaster and Nish and our partners are all going up to Longclume for New Year's.
And you'll be laughing too.
Yeah.
Which is your best course? I mean, are you someone who says, oh, I just live for the dessert. I could start with that. Or
absolutely
you like this,
not.
Me neither.
I'm a starter boy. So on off menu, we're diametric. Opposed. I'm a starter boy and James is a dessert boy. Love mains as well, obviously, but starters are what excite me the most, I think.
Okay,
And do you like vegetable starters or fishy starters or...
And
it doesn't matter.
Bring it all. Bring it all. Like, it depends what I'm having for main as well. So if I'm having a fishy main, I'll go for like steak tartare or something to start.
Do you remember last Great British Menu? They did that thing with mushrooms and it looked like you were in the woodland.
Yeah, there was a lot of that last series.
That was so clever,
though. It was fantastic. So
did you get a bit sick of foraged?
Well, because
a lot of mushrooms.
The last series was the first series where the starters had to be plant-based and the majority of Western chefs, I think, they hear it's got to be plant-based, so they're going with the most meaty thing possible,
which is mushroom.
Which is why Avi, who got through, because he's an Indian chef, is very used to cooking plant-based food, so it was just an incredible dish. So, yeah.
You do have the best job in the world.
It is amazing. And we start again next week. I can't wait. Back to Stratford-upon-Avon.
Now, but
is that where it's filmed?
Yeah, it's filmed in Stratford-upon-Avon, yeah.
In the centre of England.
Yeah,
oh, is it at the place where they do MasterChef?
No, it's in like an industrial estate in Stratford-upon-Avon. Right.
John Tarode, when he came on the podcast, he said, well, no, when I went on MasterChef and was like a guest judge or guest taster, because I definitely didn't, I mean, I just was really excited about everything. But he said that he wouldn't eat all day if he knew he was filming.
Yeah.
Are you similar with that?
Well, it's tricky. It'd be amazing if I managed to eat before, because we start at like 9 in the morning.
You're eating by that point.
My first day, I had breakfast before we started, and they were like, what are you doing? You can't do that. So we start at like 9:30, and then get a dish every half an hour, basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, so like, yeah, a 4 or 5 hour tasting menu, you're like, I do the Great British menu.
Yeah, no, I've done the training. So finals week is the hardest, because that's 4 days in a row, and it's 8 starters on one day, 8 mains the next day, or 8 fish the next day, 8 mains the next day, and 8 desserts. And that is the roughest day, is 8 desserts in one day.
No, that feels... And you're diabetic.
Yeah, so that is normally...
How do you balance it all now?
Well, the dessert day is the trickiest one, I think.
Do they allow... I mean, what can... Do you just bring your insulin?
I mean, yeah, I just inject when I mean, it's like... Thing. I'm a proper, like, ninja diabetic in that situation.
Oh, really?
Most of the time, absolutely fine, like, eating, because you can eat, like... little bits of it. I don't, but and you can sort of manage to balance it through the day, but that dessert day is a wild ride.
Don't you have one of
ride.
Those pump things?
I don't have a pump. I've got a constant glucose monitor, so I get my blood sugars on my phone all the time, but with the insulin it's just sort of, it's years of experience just trying to work out how to manage.
So how old were you when you were
13?
Oh, what a shitty thing to happen at
13. It was, but I mean, I don't, at the time I think I was a bit blasé about the whole thing. And also my mum was a nurse for many years, so she spotted all the signs really early. So a lot of people's diagnosis story is they end up in hospital with, you know, super high blood sugar, but I didn't have that.
Were you thirsty all the time?
Yeah, thirsty all the time.
Lost weight?
Yeah, I did lose weight, which was a surprise for me at that age.
Yeah.
That all went straight back on again as soon as I was diagnosed. So the care I got was amazing. Like from the NHS, from the like Youth Diabetes Centre, the hospital was incredible.
Where were you brought up?
Southwest London, in Wimbledon.
Wimbledon?
Yeah.
So let's take it back to childhood. You loved everything. Your mum talked about you being kind of, you know, a hungry baby.
Yes, bottomless pit.
Yeah, love it. Similar to me. Yeah.
Gobbled it all up, absolutely.
Yeah. What was a really memorable dish from your childhood?
Well, we were a proper Delia house. My mum, like real Delia House or Good Housekeeping magazine. So there's a lot of like still, I'd say like probably vintage Good Housekeeping magazines in my mum's house.
Amazing.
Because they've got one recipe in them
that we just used to eat
all of the time. So there was one, I think it was a Good Housekeeping one, which was like chicken noodles and like coconut milk. And we'd have that once or twice a week, I'd say.
Oh, and did you love it?
Oh, absolutely loved it. Like 3 helpings every time. Always going back for more. Like spring onions and ginger and garlic.
Just and who was around the dinner table?
Well, it's just me and my mum in the house, really. So, I mean, we'd, you know, she'd often have friends over and stuff. And, you know, I'd go to my dad's for dinner. But at home, my main memories of food, me and my mum. Normally chicken noodles, roast chicken.
Do you don't have brothers stuff. And sisters?
I've got a half brother and half sister. So they're with my dad. So I would see them, you know, every other weekend.
I wonder whether that played a part in you being a good eater. Well, you came out being a good eater. But that idea of like your mum cooking meals for you both and it not being like peer pressure of other shitty eating habits from brothers
for sure.
and sisters.
Yeah.
Like you were...
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, and then I was just also, she made a big pan of it and I got to eat most of it. So that probably helped.
And like, she was a nurse.
Yeah, she was a nurse for many years. And then for actually the majority of her career, she was a health visitor. So just sort of stomping around Fulham visiting babies, really.
Oh.
Yeah. A pretty good job.
Are you close to her?
Yeah, very close.
Yeah. Does she watch The Great British Bake?
She does. She loves it. It's one of the things that I do that she will watch regularly. Because podcasts she can't keep up with. I don't think she knows how to get them.
Right, still. Okay,
I've told her.
To be honest, Ed, if I wasn't on one, I wouldn't listen to it. I wouldn't know how to get one, to be perfectly frank.
So you and your mum eating around the dinner table, her cooking these amazing meals.
Dinner table, it was normally on our knees in front of the telly.
Really?
Which I stand by. I know people say it's nicer to eat around a dinner table. It's better for the family unit, but it's exactly the same.
You have a great relationship with
your
mother.
Yeah, great relationship.
So what were you watching?
Oh, well, I was trying to remember the other day. We'd watch the soaps, definitely. which...
Did you?
Yeah, big time.
You see, Jesse was on Strictly. I didn't know half the people on it because they're all in soaps.
I'm very behind now.
Are you
but
good
this was,
now still with your soaps?
No, I've fallen very behind. I'll check back in at Christmas. Check back in at Christmas.
Okay.
So yeah. Which ones were you watching?
Corrie and EastEnders mainly.
Oh, wow. The Rivals.
Yeah.
You don't discriminate in your
No,
house.
God, no. No.
I love that.
Also, Corrie was the funny one back then, and then EastEnders is the proper gritty one. Yeah.
So you would eat, and you would then go to your dad's and kind of...
Yeah, go to dad's on some weekends.
Was he a good cook?
He's a brilliant cook.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Also, he uses cooking in the same way I use cooking, to be in the kitchen all day and not have to converse with anyone else.
I do that.
Ed, I can't believe that of you, because you're like a warm, lovely person.
Yeah, but I have to save that up. And then I run out of that eventually. So if I'm having people around, I like being in the kitchen doing stuff and I'll be chatting to people, but I like having something to focus
on. I'm totally with
you.
And it's kind of quite, you really can escape.
Yeah.
Which is really wonderful. Totally. And it sounds really naff, but like it just is really, you focus
I'm
on
the opposite.
Thing.
Yeah. I want to be a guest at my own dinner party. And I hate, and then I resent everyone. By the time they've come and I've cooked, I think, oh, fuck.
When was your last dinner party that you hosted?
Oh, God, it was probably a while ago. It was probably a few months ago. We had James Acaster and his girlfriend over, and it was in the sort of winter months, so I like doing proper slow-cooked stuff. So I did, like, beef cheeks, slow-cooked beef cheeks and polenta.
Delish.
Yeah, fantastic. That's right.
And your
on my
wife?
Yeah.
Does she cook?
No, not at all. Not at all, and she wouldn't mind me saying it. She absolutely does not cook. The whole idea of it makes her very nervous. Of messing something up.
What does she do for a job?
She works in TV. She's a TV development producer. So she just comes up with TV ideas and...
That is such a stressful job.
Stressful job, but she's very good at it. But she's just not... Cooking is just never... When we first got together, she tried to cook for me once because she thought it would be something that she had to do and then was so stressed the whole time.
What was the dish?
It was like a chicken curry. It was like a Jamaican chicken curry. And...
Did it work?
It was edible. But there was some burning of onions. I mean, we've been together for so long now. I think that's that now.
How did you meet?
Sort of through comedy and TV. So she was working for a TV production company and they were like coming to see comedians do gigs and we met. Yeah.
Where was your first date meal-wise?
Meal-wise
Did you choose
was,
it?
No, it was sort of... I mean, we're both a lot younger, so I don't think we didn't know much about restaurants.
How long have you been together?
Like 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 years, but married for 2. We went to, it's not there anymore, but it's somewhere I used to go drinking a lot with people. Down on the South Bank, there was somewhere called Studio 6. It was really near.
I don't know it.
It was really near where London Studios used to be.
Right.
Just down on the South Bank. I mean, it was fine. We went and ate there and really just, I think we had about 2 bottles of wine. And then we were drinking that heavily for the first, I'd say, like 6 months of our relationship before she eventually went, I don't normally drink this much. I've been doing it to try and keep up with you.
Oh.
And I need to stop this now. I can't do it anymore. But we went to Studio 6. Yeah, it was a really fun evening. Stephen Fry walked into the room at one point.
That's quite memorable.
Yeah. I think maybe he's a good omen.
Did you see what he ordered?
No, didn't have a look at what Fry ordered.
Too busy looking at the face of your future wife.
Absolutely. And that's what I thought at the time as well. It was really creepy. I thought, you're my future wife.
Oh, did you?
No.
Oh, my dad quite liked that.
It took us like 11 years to get married.
Was that because you weren't up for being married?
No, I mean, I was always up for being married, but never. I just don't think we ever really thought about it until...
How did you propose? I need to know all these information.
We were in Japan, so I decided like quite early on in the year, so like January, that I wanted to propose. And then we went to Japan in October. So I was planning it all the time and getting the ring designed and made and stuff.
How did she get on in Japan with food?
Oh, she loves it.
She loved it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
She loves food.
She just doesn't cook. Yeah. So yeah, we got to Japan and I brought the ring with me and I basically proposed to her day one. So then
it was like burning a hole
in
your pocket.
I was like, this ring is not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
You have to look after this for the rest of the 3-week trip. So yeah. And we're going back actually next year. We're going back and we're staying in the hotel that we stayed in when we first arrived
in
Tokyo after our proposal. We'll probably go to the same place. It is like the most basic, like it's the one in Shinjuku that's got Godzilla on the top. So that's why I've got a Godzilla tattoo. Because I proposed on that trip and we were staying in the Godzilla.
Let's talk about these tattoos. How many tattoos do you have?
I don't know now.
You got a Godzilla tattoo to remember that you proposed. Did you need to get the Godzilla inked on your arm to remember that?
Well, look, I also think...
Do you love Godzilla?
Godzilla's really cool, right?
Let me see this Godzilla.
Luckily...
It's quite arty, Godzilla.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
Yeah, it's so nice.
Also, I'll tell you some more stuff about this tattoo and you'll realise it's actually really is really nice and romantic.
Okay, cool.
So, this was done by two people, Ian and Barbie, who are our friends, professional tattoo artists and artists in general. Ian did the Godzilla... And then Barbie did all these flowers.
I like that.
Yeah, and these flowers were also on our wedding invitation because Barbie designed our wedding invite.
You're a bloody romantic, Ed
right?
Gamble.
In this tattoo, and then the rest of them, that's an eyeball.
Thank you.
It's quite a terrifying eyeball.
It's an eyeball with tendrils and a jaw. So there's no romance.
What's that one about?
I wanted that.
You just wanted that
I wanted that, so I got a man to
did
do it.
Did your
on me.
Wife suggest the other one?
No, not at all. I came up with this idea.
So, okay, we really, it's like a real juxtaposition. Then what have we got? You got a skeleton.
Sort of Dance of Death skeleton.
Dance of Death, very cool.
Yes. Cowboy skeleton.
I really like him.
Yeah. Got a wolf there. Oh, God, yeah, I'm covered in him.
Right, will you help Ed?
It smells amazing, Mum.
I hope so.
Oh, Mum.
Is it nice?
That's a good pastry.
Oh, it's pastry made with semolina.
It's really good.
Is it? It's made with semolina and hot butter.
Mum.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it
Mum, it's better than any of your other pastry. It's better than your bloody Paul Hollywood moment.
Oh, my God. That was the worst moment.
Thank you so much
cheers.
For being here.
Cheers.
Cheers, darling. Cheers.
By the way, we didn't mention that Ed Gamble bought Astro Bunny, a lovely pet nat. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And yeah, I had it lodged in my mind from listening to an episode that you also like it.
Still love it. It's perfect. It's like fizzy grapefruit juice.
Is that wine? Is it wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the fucking like fortified stuff that you feed everybody. Yeah. Exactly.
This tart looks amazing.
I hope it is. Tell me what you think.
I like the semolina.
It's got semolina
really nice.
In the pastry.
That's really tasty.
Do you some of those chefs a tip?
Honestly, I think you could.
Let's go for it. What is your last supper? Starter. I'm interested by this.
Yeah.
We're going to have a mezze?
I mean, I do like a mezze.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, if I'm getting a delivery or something. Turkish food... is our normal takeaway.
Where, which is your place that you go to?
So there's a place called Gökyüzü in Walthamstow that's fantastic. There's a place called Goons as well, which is absolutely amazing.
What's your regular order?
Well, we will get a selection of starters. So
hot or cold mezze?
A bit of both.
Great, love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so mezze, you'd go with that. What else do you order at your Turkish?
So because I'm greedy, like when it comes to the kebab stuff, I'll always get like the one that's like a selection of loads of different kebabs, but it ends up costing so much bloody money. Like even with like a huge foil tray of like 3 kilos of meat. The lamb
mixed
shish,
grill.
The chicken shish.
Sometimes
yeah.
the lamb is a bit tough on the shish.
Can be. Mm. It's rolling the dice, really, I think.
It is,
sometimes.
I do
yeah.
think that.
You're safer with a mince.
The mince as well is really good.
Yogurt,
the Adana is fantastic. Oh. Absolutely love it. And lamb ribs sometimes as well is like, ooh. I love lamb ribs. Yeah, can absolutely go through a whole rib cage. It's fantastic stuff.
And what sides would you do with that?
They always bring the rice and the bulgur wheat.
Yeah.
I prefer the bulgur wheat to the rice. I'm going like a pile of that bulgur wheat. But then I'll have like all the chili and garlic sauce.
What about like, do you ever get pat lijan soslu? You know, like the kind of mixed veg. It's
sort of like the tomato-y.
Yeah,
really, really good. Really love that. And I love the, is it sucuk as well? The sausage. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
I love this. Yeah, I like Greek sausage as well.
Yeah.
Okay, but is this going to be your starter for today?
I think the starter would be the mixed mezze. So like some halloumi, the sucuk maybe... I mean, like, tarama salata as well, a bit of baba ganoush. And, like, proper fresh breads as well, like, off the grill. Oh, I think that's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Okay, that's your starter. What are you going to drink with it?
Well, do I have one drink for the whole thing?
Whatever you want.
Is my
question. I feel like you're a greedy bastard, so you should have one drink for each one.
Yeah, I should do, really, shouldn't I?
And I like this. It's exciting.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a sort of martini to start a meal,
really. How do you take yours?
Vodka or gin?
Normally vodka. But I do like a gin martini as well.
What's the difference?
Well, one's got gin and one's got
I know that, but just, do you think it tastes radically different?
I think gin has more of a taste.
Me too.
And there's so many different types of gin. Like, you can get, like, floral ones or ones that taste a bit peppery and stuff like that. Whereas vodka, I think really good vodka doesn't taste of anything.
Yeah, it's just neat spirit.
Totally.
Yeah.
So for, like, a bit of rocket fuel, a vodka martini is good, just to really kick off a... We're going out for lunch for my dad's 70th
tomorrow. Where are you
going
to go?
We're going to the Ritz.
Oh, I've never eaten that.
It's fantastic.
Is it?
It's so good. I took my mum for her birthday, but we're having lunch at 12:45, and my dad suggested we meet in the bar at 11:45 before lunch.
Jesus. Are you going to do it?
He's hardcore.
Yeah. It's going to be martinis, I think, to kick off with.
I've been to the cocktail bar, and I love that, and I've had a dirty martini there, and it was fab.
I like a dirty martini. Something I've still never had, but a lot of our guests have talked about, is having a martini with an olive, but the olive is stuffed with blue cheese.
You know where
in a
it does
martini?
Yeah.
You know where it does a really good one?
Where?
Rita's.
Oh, great.
And they think they do it with the stuffed cheese.
Ed, would you like some more tart?
Yeah, I will do, actually, if that's all right.
Well, I know that you like seconds.
Yes.
And third, so this is, it would have felt awkward if you hadn't have said yes.
Sometimes I'll deliberately take a smaller first portion of something I've made just so I can go back for seconds. It's just the act of going.
That too.
Yeah, it just feels like a treat, doesn't it?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Have you just been promoting so much the book and
it's just starting the promotion, actually.
Okay, that's good.
We did a day where I went round in an ice cream van with copies of the book proof copies of the book. Oh, thank you.
How did that go down?
Oh, it was so much fun. So we went to like some newspaper offices and then visited some friends and dropped off the book and stuff. So we went to Josh Widdicombe's house and Ian Sterling's house and a few people like that.
Amazing.
But visiting the offices of the newspapers was very funny because there'd be like two people in there who knew what was happening. So they'd come down, get an ice cream, get a book. But then obviously just word spread around the offices that there was just someone outside giving out free ice cream. So I basically worked a shift as an ice cream man. Such a big queue at the Independent. I was loving it. Forgot to give the books out.
They got sweet tooth at the Independent.
Yeah, loved it. I did think, you know what? If comedy all falls apart, I could be an ice cream man. Master of your own domain.
Is this your first book, Ed?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Why did you decide to write it?
Well, I mean, it's sort of a sneaky comedian's memoir. So a lot of comedians have done this where they're like, well, I want to talk about my life, but also my life hasn't necessarily been interesting enough just to talk about that.
Oh.
Well, if you didn't like it, Lenny, you could have said.
Okay, we have not finished the Last Supper.
Okay.
So we've got a starter, mezze, martini.
Yes.
Main.
Now, I was going to say, I can't just say another kebab-based thing, can I? But there's just one thing in Edinburgh that to me is...
I thought you were going on to a fruit kebab then, for your dessert.
No. Save that. There's one kebab shop in Edinburgh that represents the entire Edinburgh Fringe to me. Okay. Like, I can't go to Edinburgh without having this kebab.
Okay. Where is it?
It's on Nicholson Street. It's called Palmyra. It's like this yellow frontage. And comedians love it because it's open till like 3 a.m.
Right.
It's proper, proper nice kebab. But they put it in a big wrap. I get the mixed one, obviously. The chicken and the lamb. Bit of salad, bit of sauce. But then they wrap it up and toast it in a big sort of panini toaster. And then they wrap it up for you and I take it back to wherever I'm staying. And it's just, it weighs about 3 or 4 pounds, I think. It's so warm in there. And just the mix of the sauces in there, it's just amazing.
Did you go to Edinburgh Fringe this?
Yeah, I went and did work in progress shows because I don't want to do the full month ever again because it's a hellhole. It's so stressful doing the 4 months.
Really?
Yeah, so I just went into 2 weeks, stayed in a hotel. I've basically turned into the comedian that I used to hate when I went up to the Fringe as a student. Yeah, absolutely. Stayed in a nice hotel, did 2 weeks. My shows were at noon. I went to bed early every night.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was great.
So you didn't have to have really like acid reflux after the big kebab because you're not sleeping straight on it.
Exactly.
Love that for you.
I can have it for lunch if I want. Yeah.
What would you have for your drink for your main?
Drink for the main. I mean, I'm a wine boy. I do like a lot of wine. Big Riesling phase at the moment.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, huge Riesling phase.
Comedians like Riesling. Jamie Dimitri brought one over.
Yeah, he knows.
Why
the
do
stuff.
You like Riesling?
He seems to.
Why do you like Riesling?
I just think, I mean, there's obviously a massive scale in terms of sweetness and dryness, but
Please say you like it dry.
I like sweet Riesling as a dessert in place of a dessert wine.
Like
amazing.
A Berme de Venise. Yeah.
It's great. And I've got, I went through a bit of a mad phase of buying wine with the Wine Society and storing it all in their warehouse.
Where do you get your wine from now?
A lot of it from the Wine Society.
Okay. Even Pet Nat?
No, Pet Nat, there's a shop near me that is a natural wine shop. But literally around the corner when we moved in, I was like, I can't believe this is here because it's on a road where like there's loads
kebab
of like
shops.
Normal shops, kebab shops, like a fireworks shop that's open all year round, and that it's called Gnarly Vines. It's a really great shop.
Spelt with
a G. It's pretty cool.
You should get it tattooed.
Yeah, I will do. I mean, at this point, I don't care. Just get anything on there.
I didn't catch all the tattoo. Do they all have great meaning?
No, that one does. And then all of the rest of them are just things I fancied when I was away. So I get them when I travel a lot. So the cowboy skeleton was in Melbourne. I got that in Melbourne.
Ed, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Did your mum cry?
She wasn't happy.
Yeah, that's how I would be.
The first one I got, she was not happy at all.
Which one was the first one you got?
I got this one in New Zealand.
I thought you were going to show me your bottom. Oh, yeah, no, they're on your legs too.
Untouched. Yeah, it's that like magician sort of hands one. James Acaster did that one, the tally chart.
What's the tally? Why have you got 7?
Because that's how many days we lasted on Celebrity Hunted. And when we were on the run, we went to Ian and Barbie's tattoo shop and he did it on me.
Okay, so tell me about Celebrity
Hunted.
Don't
do anything that you're going to get tattooed.
Also, I'm not good at...
You don't have to get tattooed.
Okay.
That was,
well, okay,
it's not part of the format.
Tell me Celebrity Hunted.
So have you seen Hunted before?
No.
It's been on for years. It's a Channel 4 show where basically members of the public, they just go on the run and they have this like HQ where the hunters are. And they will, like, hunt you down wherever you go in the country.
I'd be so shit at it because I'm lazy. I'm not very clever at finding... I'd be shit. Where did you go in your... And you lasted 7 days. That's incredible.
So we didn't plan it at all. Everyone else had planned it and planned where they were going to go.
You are like fucking Jason Bourne.
Well, wait till you hear what we did first. So we had to... The first place we started was Shrewsbury Prison. And we all ran out of Shrewsbury Prison.
How did you get out?
Well, they let you out.
Okay, right.
Otherwise, it'd be a terrible show if they would lock the doors. Going, see if you can escape. And they got on trains. There were people on a motorbike. There were, you know, people getting in a car. And we walked into the town centre and went to a Michelin star restaurant.
That is absolutely genius.
We had a tasting menu straight away. There's a shot of us sat there eating this tasting menu, and you can hear a chopper outside. That was so much fun.
That is brilliant. Okay, next day, was it like gastronomically?
Yeah, well, they cut out a lot of stuff that we did because I think we travelled too much. I think other people were staying where they were for quite a while.
Did you stay in Shrewsbury?
No, we went to Birmingham for a bit, stayed in a comedy club.
How did you get there? Driving?
Got a lift off the waitress.
this is wild.
But they're very good at like... Not telling you what to do, but like you have to facilitate it.
Okay.
But they're obviously like, you guys have got to go.
Did you have to give her money?
No, I don't think we did.
Not even for petrol?
No, I think the restaurant were very happy
did
with
it. Did you get her an M&S service station?
Should have done. No, because you don't have any cash. You don't have any cash. You don't have phones. You've just got to be on the run.
So you have to just use your charm and wit and nous.
Yes, which is why we didn't get to the end.
7 days? Well, how long?
2 weeks. It's people are on
that
doing
don't
it
they need
weeks.
To wrap that shit up by that point? Like, okay, so but where did you eat in Birmingham?
Where did we eat in Birmingham? I don't think we were in Birmingham for the night. Actually, we got amazing takeaway, very handily paid for by the comedy club, from Tiger Bites Pig in Birmingham, which does amazing bows.
Okay.
That was great. And then we went to...
So you went to the comedy club. You were really, like, leaving real massive breadcrumbs.
We got huge clues. And at the club, we were like, there were old posters of ours up, and we were, like, signing the posters to the hunters for when they saw it. It was a real buzz. We ended up going to Marlowe and staying in one of the Hand and Flowers
rooms.
Stop. Yeah.
That's That's amazing.
But that didn't make the edit.
It sounds like a really romantic kind
of... Oh, it was lovely. It was a lovely getaway for me and James, yeah. And Sam, who was filming all of it. And then eventually I'm like, I need a proper shower and I need to be at home. And yeah, I want to see my wife and my cat. And yeah. So I basically went home after James got caught. And they caught me round the corner from my house and the hunters had to give me a lift
you
back.
Left James?
Yeah. Well, no, James got caught.
Weren't you supposed to be together?
Yeah, but we went to the Taskmaster house to stay the night. And then we prank called them from the Taskmaster house. I think we were just done with it. So we prank called them.
Find us.
They traced the call, turned up. We sprayed them with water pistols and then they caught James and I ran away and lasted like 6 more hours or something. It's really exciting. It feels like, it does feel like you're in the Bourne Identity, but with more Michelin star meals.
Now, from Michelin to this,
That is so mean.
No, I don't know what it is. When I see a panna cotta, I think come dine with me.
Fuck off.
Not a good panna cotta. No. This looks amazing.
Fuck no, look at the wobble off. On that, Mum.
Is there a wobble? Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Beautiful.
Look, I've not tried chocolate fondant yet, ever.
Yeah, it's panna cotta or chocolate fondant on MasterChef, you think.
That's delish.
Just don't do it, right?
Mmm.
Mmm. That's so good.
Delish.
Nailed it.
I know why you think panna, because panna cotta is very easy to make.
Well, I've never actually bothered to make it, because the gelatine and all of that kind of feels
but
like
people
a bit of a
people mess it up a lot, right?
No.
This is a good one.
I think this is... Well, mine works always.
Delish.
Really good.
So you're going for a Riesling?
Yeah, I think so. Like a dry Riesling.
Okay. Any particular bottle?
I really like Prum. Prum Riesling is very good. There's also a really nice Australian Riesling made by a guy called Mac Forbes, which is very, very delicious. But, you know, if I'm at a restaurant, I'll just look down the list and look for a word I recognise and I go, that one, please. And then check the price and panic. I tell you what I also really ended up drinking a lot of in Australia is Fernet Branca after meals.
No, I'm not sure if you're ill.
No. It's a digestif. It settles the stomach after a big meal.
Does it?
It tastes like fried balsam. If you, it's thick brown, isn't it?
But they also do a mint one, a Fernet Branca Menta.
Maybe
which
I
tastes
could
like,
do that.
Yeah, but I think if you're tasting menu, if you're feeling a bit sick.
Would you not have a cheese board?
Yeah, I do throw in a cheese board.
Yeah,
do you like cheese?
Yeah, I love cheese.
Me too. What's going to be on your cheese? You know what I quite like? I like starting with cheese. It's
what
the Americans do.
Oh, Jesse, why?
But I can't stop when I start eating cheese. So if I start with cheese, like nothing else is getting eaten.
So what's going to be on your board?
A very, very mature cheddar for a start. You've got to have
the crystal,
like the Cornish crystally one. Manchego, for sure. I'm a hard cheese guy, really. Comté, like a really, like 24-month Comté. Then something blue, like probably a Stilton. Probably
what,
like
an
Ecosse
or anything like that?
I don't know.
I like a really smelly...
I don't mind it.
Like
but it
Stinking
tends to
Bishop.
I quite like Stinking Bishop, but it has to be in a separate dish, nowhere near the other cheeses.
I quite like the oozy ones,
mm-hmm.
like a couple of them.
Yeah.
What do you have with your cheese?
Quite often I'll just go straight cheese.
No cracker,
no
apple.
No cracker. But I like to have the crackers there as a suggestion.
Jesse's hardcore.
But I will go straight cheese, yeah. Bit of quince maybe, but not, you know, I'm not really bothering with that. I just thought the cheese, yeah.
So how did you and James meet?
We met on the comedy circuit, really, like as little baby comedians. Just, you always end up, like, it's a brilliant thing because it's so sociable. You end up seeing people at the gigs all the time.
I find it so brave that you put yourself out there to...
I'd say it's brave the first 3 times you do it and then ego kicks in and... And then if you're gigging a lot, it doesn't matter. You learn to just go out and do it. And if it goes well, fine. If it doesn't go well, fine.
But what did you do at university?
Philosophy.
Oh, so that could work as to prepare for comedy.
I think it's one of the only courses that feels like it does lead to writing something like comedy because
you're right.
formulating your own arguments. Yeah. But I mean, useless degree otherwise.
No degree's useless if you're using
it. It was the way I did it.
Okay.
Absolutely pointless me.
What was Durham like? Is it very fancy pants?
I was at one of the colleges that has a reputation for being the poshest, but I sort of lived outside of the college. But there's one, some of the accommodation's in the castle. Like there's a college that's in a castle.
Not Barnard Castle.
Not Barnard Castle. I have done a gig in Barnard Castle.
Did you? And how was your eyesight for that?
Yeah, absolutely fine.
How did you get there? Yeah.
I died on my ass actually at that gig, so thanks for bringing that up.
Is it really scary when you stand up there and you look out and you think, how many people are here? Well, people are there, they bought tickets to see you. It's not like a festival where they don't know what they're getting.
Yes, yeah.
So they, you know that they like you.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about the position I'm in now, that I can go and I know that people are at least semi on
board.
But
why did you die on your ass that night?
That was a preview. That was years ago.
And that's what, like, because like you just did your work in progress. You, what do you call
in
it?
Edinburgh, yeah.
Work, yeah, in progress, and so that's you trying things out, right?
Yes.
And do you tell people to not film?
They don't really. It's fairly respectful, my audience, most of the time.
So did you say it's called a work in progress?
Yeah, bill it as a work in progress. Tickets are way cheaper than they would be on a normal tour show. I tell them they're all cheap for coming.
Let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it coming out? It's your first book.
I feel very weird about it coming
really?
Out.
So why are you feeling funny?
Just because you
did feel like
work
you
quite hard
your,
on something
did
and
you
then...
bear your soul?
I don't. I probably bared my soul more than I normally do in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, with you know, standing on a stage and doing stuff, you're like, you can be like, well, I'll finish this and then I can get in the car and go. And there's no existing record of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this will be everywhere forever. Not
what,
everywhere.
What, has your mum read it?
No, she hasn't read it yet. She
has
will read it.
Has your wife
are you
read
nice
it?
About her in it?
Very nice about my mum, yeah.
You and nice about your dad as well?
Mainly, take the piss out of my dad quite a lot in it.
Will he mind?
I don't think so.
You have a good relationship with him?
Yeah, I don't think he'll
mind. Take him to the Ritz tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'll take him a copy of the book as well.
So the book comes out. When does the book come out?
Book comes out on October 26th.
How are you going to celebrate? Where are you going to eat at your celebratory dinner?
Where's the launch?
I don't know where the launch is, actually.
Are you doing
bloody
a launch?
Hell. Door
well, we've already been
around
in a bloody ice cream van all day, you know.
Yeah. How many ice creams did you have that day?
I saved myself right till the end and then made like a massive mega one.
And did you have a flake?
Of course I had a flake.
And some.
Yeah, for God's sake.
Do you know, do they still do oysters?
Yeah, there was oysters.
Oh, I love an oyster with a bit of marshmallow in it as
yes.
well. Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
Oh, we had all the stuff in the back of that van, yeah. No, I waited right until to the end and had an ice cream right at the end. It was great. Where am I going to eat? I mean, actually, the night before it's published, I am going out with Nish Kumar to Kitchen Table. Do you know Kitchen Table?
No. Is this the one that's very small?
It's bigger now, so it used to be...
Like eight, like seats or something like that.
It's a like kitchen, sort of like a chef's seating yeah. area, yeah. But it used to be in the back of a restaurant called Bubble Dogs, which is like a champagne and hot dog
yeah.
restaurant. But then that went and they took over Bubble Dogs, essentially. So there's like a bar at the front, but then at the back there's... you
God,
go and
Jacine,
sit.
There's more restaurants than you.
Sit at the counter. But it's the yeah. chef is James Napper. It's fantastic. But I've been there before with my wife and that is like 5.5 hours. That's you sit in the bar for a bit and get snacks in the bar and then they bring you through to the...
And you and Nish are going to do it. So Nish yeah. is a bit of a foodie.
Yeah, he is.
We should
yeah,
get
yeah.
Nish on this.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about a really memorable taste that is pure nostalgia for you that can take you back, transport you back somewhere, happy or sad, or a smell.
I mean, it would have been that chicken noodle dish, but I've already mentioned it, so I'm definitely going to need to think of something else. Snack-wise... I tell you what really takes me back is when I was first diagnosed as diabetic, like we had a lot of meetings with the nurse who's called Teresa, who's amazing. And they're quite basic with it in the NHS. It's like one fits all policy. And they're like, if you're going to exercise, you need to eat something sugary before. So my mum went, well, you need to eat something sugary before exercise. What do you want? And I was like, Mars bar, because I'm just greedy. We bought these mini Mars bars and kept them in the fridge.
Oh, ooh, delicious.
Right? Yeah.
And a mini, there is nothing nicer than a mini Mars bar from the fridge. Unfortunately, it was there for medical reasons, but I would keep going back and like popping another mini Mars
but
bar
if
in.
You had too many, didn't it do things to your
yeah, bacon? Yeah, yeah, it wasn't ideal. I was very bad at controlling diabetes for the first sort of 10 years of being diabetic, I think. I was
did
very
you ever end up
it.
In hospital?
No, but I always did the bare minimum to get through, but now I'm way better at it. Like, once I realised it is like having an extra full-time job, like now
and
it's just...
thing. And was it genetic?
No, I mean, I think there was like, my grandpa's cousin was type 1 diabetic, but that's the only one we could trace it back to. But there's no other diabetics in my family. I'm the special one.
Very special. I mean, how long have you had your patch for?
A couple of years.
Because they're
yeah.
quite relatively...
Ooh, Heim, you know, the high, yeah, SD Heim.
She has
yes.
one.
Yeah, yeah, she's
and
got
James
one.
Norton's got one.
Yes.
Yeah, me and James were hanging out at a diabetic event recently.
Oh, diabetic event.
It's a real scene, guys. Sorry you can't join
what
in.
What did you eat at the diabetic event?
Nothing. No, well, me and James had to do like an on-stage like Q&A thing, like chat about diabetes. But I mean, it was mainly people asking questions about Happy Valley.
Fair enough.
It was amazing. Like, someone was like asking questions about Happy Valley, and a woman in the back went, "I haven't seen the end of it yet." And then someone else gave a spoiler, and it all kicked off.
Oh,
and
my was like, God.
Guys, I'm here as well. I'm diabetic.
Have you tried the trick of dates, medjool dates and peanut butter?
No.
In the freezer?
No.
It's like a healthy Mars, Snickers.
Nice.
So I will try that. You could just do that, and it may just like satisfy that, that memory.
Jesse,
it does. I think he'd be like, he'd like it. Maybe.
I might just get a Snickers though, to be
fair. Yeah, fine, fair enough. Sod it. Do what you like. Have you got good table manners, Ed?
I mean, my elbows are on there right now, so...
Everyone's elbows. It's a wonder we're all sitting up straight.
Quite a high counter, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have good table manners. I mean, at home with my wife, I don't know. I mean, the phones are on the table. That's bad, though, isn't it? The phone's on the table.
You don't go on your phone meal
times. No, but, like, phones are on the table. I think that's quite...
Well, he was brought up watching soaps.
Mum, you're saying that very judgy.
With the fan as well.
I watch football here on my own.
With your elbows on the table.
With my elbows on the table. It's my favourite sport.
I will now and again, the phone will be on the table. I'm not saying I check it, but it is there.
I check it and I get in trouble by my husband.
Yeah. You were very good on holiday this year.
Thank you.
Do you like karaoke?
I do like karaoke.
What's your song?
Well, I ruin karaoke for other people because I'm like a old school metalhead.
Oh.
I got into metal when I was 13, and that was sort of like the new metal era.
Oh, it goes with the Tats.
And then, well, there you go, yeah. And I really love metal, so...
So, like, what would be your song? Would you even know that?
Well, it's whatever they have on karaoke.
So what,
and
so
it's normally it's normally Limp Bizkit. They have a song called Break Stuff that I went to a friend's karaoke party recently in... There's a karaoke room in the basement of Bow in Borough.
Oh.
Which is great. If you want, like, a night doing karaoke
and
just ordering Bow.
There?
Yeah, you can just order it down to the
karaoke
room.
You really like karaoke, then?
Yeah, I love it.
Jesse, I do. It's if my birthday, if you were here.
Okay, so I'll go to Longbloom
like
with you.
That.
And you can go to Bow with Mum and
fantastic.
Do karaoke.
Okay, and we'll do some karaoke. Right. But I found Break Stuff on the karaoke machine and then put it on, and there'd been some glitch where the lyrics weren't at the bottom, so it was just the video for Break Stuff. Still did it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been cool were it not a Limp Bizkit song.
And if anybody knew it.
Yeah, no one knew it.
Where does the name Limp Bizkit come from?
I think it might be a reference to a rude thing.
A flaccid Willy?
Maybe.
No.
Why? Why did I go there? Limp?
Yeah, I think
so. Biscuit. What's the biscuit then?
Well, I don't know. I actually don't know what you should know.
What do you think it is?
Support them.
You're a big fan.
Well, I thought it was a reference to soggy biscuit.
What's a soggy biscuit?
Oh, God, I can't believe this is happening.
What is a soggy biscuit?
I cannot believe this is happening.
What's a soggy biscuit?
I want to stress that I've never participated in soggy biscuit.
Okay, tell us.
How has this happened to me? So it's apparently a boarding school thing.
Did Fred Durst go to boarding school?
He didn't go to boarding school. No,
But this is what I thought. I always used to think it was a reference to.
So right, tell me.
Lenny, I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Say
out loud.
I'm a social worker. I'm very broad-minded.
Okay, well, apparently they all get in a circle around a biscuit.
And pee on it.
No. No.
Ejaculate.
On a biscuit? Why?
It's a game. Apparently, they all start masturbating.
For aim?
They all start masturbating, and the last one to come on the biscuit has to eat the biscuit.
Oh my God! I just feel faint. You're kidding me.
That's not in the book.
Are you sure that reference is correct?
I don't know.
Can we Google it? Oh my God, that's amazing.
So it might be a reference to that. Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad you asked the karaoke question. Ed Gamble, thank you so much
for having me. Cheers.
We've both got our fans out of your poppy expression.
I am there.
Gorgeous.
Really, really lovely.
Well, I'm glad he wore shorts and I could see the whole stories of his tattoos.
Jesus, Mum, I thought you were going to say something else. I feel like his Last Supper was very much in keeping with the heat of the moment. Turkish, lots of Turkish. I'd really like to go out for dinner with Ed Gamble.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Because I know that he'd probably order
he's
the whole menu.
He's going to Longclume for New Year's.
I'm really
How
jealous about that.
How did he get that gig? No, he must have booked about 100 years ago.
No, he's Ed Gamble. He probably can bloody just speed dial Simon Rogan and just say, yeah, I'm coming.
Okay.
Thank you so much to Ed for coming and eating with us and bringing Pet Nat, Astro Bunny. Love you. The hangover has kind of gone up and down, up and down, up and down. Maybe I just need to have paracetamol and a cup of tea now. I don't know. But it's been a pleasure. Glutton is out now. You can go and read it or listen to the audiobook. He's on tour next year. He's going to be on the Great British Menu. He's touring with James Acaster for their Off Menu Live. Yeah, he's busy bee. And if he has time, Ed Gamble, please can I go out for dinner with you and your lovely sounding wife? Who will let me finish her courses. That sounds fine, unless he fights me for them.
Okay.
And also, sorry, should we just... Can you email in to hello@tablemannerspodcast.com to just confirm whether Limp Bizkit / Soggy Biscuit
oh my God.
Is what Ed Gamble thinks it is? Or is he just disgusting? Thank you for listening, and we will look forward to hearing your answers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.